Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the TES International Podcast with me, Dan Worth. In this episode, we head to China to chat with Gary Russell, the head of college at Dulwich College Shanghai Pudong, and Lavinia Tong, head of admissions and marketing at the school, to chat about teacher retention and the importance of maintaining a stable teaching and support staff community. They explain how the school does this through a mix of practical and philosophical approaches to ensure staff are enticed to stay with the school for as long as possible, with some recently awarded long-serving awards to staff underlining the impact this work is having. They also touch on the school's approach to its alumni network to ensure past students retain a strong connection with the school too. All that and lots more on the TES International Podcast. Hi Gary, hi Lavinia, welcome to the TES International Podcast. Really great to chat with you, always fun to do a double guest podcast, and we're going to be talking about teacher retention particularly, which is a really interesting issue, something that, you know, affects state schools in the UK we talk to as much as international schools, obviously very different context, but probably some universal themes and challenges. So before we dive into that though, let's just very briefly introduce yourself. So Gary, why don't you go first, tell us your role, how you came to be where you are, and then Lavinia will go over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Dan, and great to be on the podcast today. Thank you very much. I listen to your podcast all the time, and I really enjoy it. So very informative and helpful. So my name's Gary Russell. I'm the head of college here at Dulwich College Shanghai Pudong. And I left the UK about 23 years ago, spent quite a lot of my NQT time and then development time in a state school in Essex, and then decided to take a leap overseas, bit of a leap of faith, and ended up in the Middle East for about 10 years, and then Thailand and China for the last 8 years in China. A wonderful place to live, a wonderful place to work. So I've had a fantastic 23 years overseas. Loved every minute of it.
Great. Thanks for the kind words about the podcast.
Hi there. My name's Lavinia Tong. I'm the Director of Admissions and Marketing for Dulwich College Shanghai Pudong. And I've been in the Dulwich Group now for 8 years, four in the school and four in head office. But my background before that is a FTSE 10 marketing, so a completely different world before education.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is very different, very interesting. Well, maybe that's going to play a part in this discussion. Let's see. But excellent. Well, yeah, great. Yeah, really great to get that set up. And then, so let's really go into, so yeah, teacher, I mean, I suppose retention, recruitment might play a part in this as well. Obviously, you recruit great people, but then you want to retain them. But let's just touch on that idea of retention. Obviously, you've moved around a bit, Gary. You've said there, you know that kind of that pull to move. That's the international sector. It's exciting. You can go around the world and take your skills with you. But obviously, you as a head want to keep good people for as long as you can. So what are some of the sort of core things you do on that? What are the challenges you face? You set the scene a little bit about how retention is such a sort of a focus for you in the school.
Yeah, I think just for transparency, what we don't do is sort of set retention targets. I think what we seek to do is to create a culture here at the college where people feel supported, challenged professionally, where they feel part of a community. So they really don't want to leave us, that they're enjoying what they do, that they feel they have a voice, and that they feel that they're part of a community where their values and our values are aligned. So when we're recruiting, of course, we're looking for those sorts of people who are open to development, to wanting to get better, who understand that at the core of all great schools is a desire to improve. We are, I think, by many measures, a great school, but we're also a school that never believes we've reached the peak, that we can always improve. So we look for teachers, and not just teachers, I ought to say, when we talk about staff retention here, we're talking about support staff as well. We're very much one team, but we're looking for people who genuinely have that desire to want to get better at what they do, because that's what we want to instill in our young learners as well. So it's a real learning community. So we treat our staff really well. We support them. We give them lots and lots of opportunities to develop. The challenge sometimes is that then leads to staff who want more and who want to, if you seek promotion or seek opportunities that sometimes aren't available here at the time. So that is a risk you take, but ultimately we want our teachers and our support staff to always challenge themselves to get better. And by creating that culture and a sense of belonging here, we hope that they never leave us. Mm. And so far that seems to be working really well. And our retention rates at the moment are incredibly high, because I think staff have that sense of belonging, but that satisfaction of coming here every single day.
Even if they can't promote within our school, because we're part of a group of schools. So whilst we're Dulwich College Shanghai Pudong, there's another school in Shanghai, there's schools in Singapore, Seoul, and all around the group. So actually we can retain them within our school, but we can also retain them in the group. And so actually our current head of senior school, she used to work at Dulwich College, Suzhou, and then she came here, she got promoted here, became promoted to head of senior school. And next year she's been promoted to a head of college in Seoul. So that ability to promote across our school and into other groups is another way of retaining, even if it's not in our school, but in the group.
Yes, that's an interesting perspective, isn't it? Like you say, because I suppose for the wider group, that still is a good retention of a clearly talented person, maybe not within the school, but within the group, therefore you benefit from them. So yes, and that's a good, I suppose, a double-edged thing, because I suppose you might think we're losing a good person, but you know it's sort of benefiting your colleagues elsewhere. So it's a sort of a positive, but with a shade of sort of, but we can, you know, they're going elsewhere. But yeah, very interesting. So if we delve into some of the specifics of that, then what kind of things do you offer? I mean, you touched on this a little bit there, Gary, but are there sort of particular things, you know, do you set out kind of development goals for people so they know there's a longevity or an opportunity to grow with you? How do you build that community? How do you build that pastoral care, I guess, as much then to actually do the thing, you create the culture you were kind of talking about?
So we certainly do support our staff in terms of their goals, and we make sure that all of our teachers and support staff annually have a goal setting process, and we encourage them to be ambitious. I think when you have a trust in your organization, what happens is staff tend to set themselves really challenging goals, goals that perhaps they won't achieve fully. But I think that's a much better approach than people playing it safe. So we have that sort of philosophy of be challenging in wanting to improve, and then provide resources to ensure that staff have the very best opportunity to reach those goals. So that's a process that goes on, as I said, for all of our staff. It's not just teachers, but the support staff are very much part of the community here. So everybody gets that support and that investment. And I think one of the really important aspects of all of that is the time that we allocate to enabling people to have regular conversations. We have a line management structure here so that everybody has a clear line manager, and they meet with that person regularly, and they're always talking about their professional development, so that it's always a topic that's on their mind, and we're checking how people are progressing towards their individual goals. Sometimes they are whole college goals where we've got a particular area of focus for that particular year. And as a community, we are working towards a particular area of focus. So it's as I said earlier, it's at our core. We want everybody to continuously work to get better at what they do, whatever their role is within the school. And every role is important to us.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And Lavinia, I don't know, in your sort of role then, as well, in that sort of way of making sure there's a kind of how you can help staff. And I'm guessing, you know, even the sort of marketing element of that is you want to make sure staff are aware when they have looked to apply to a school that they'll be supported on a kind of, it's not just join, get a job and that's it. There's a kind of an ethos there.
I'll be sure. So there's definitely a growth in kind of looking at different departments. So for example, there's someone in my team who used to be in events and then they got promoted to become kind of student services manager. So there's inter-department kind of transfers. Another girl on my team who came from admissions and then moved into the music department to support there. So there's that kind of transfer. One of the things we're looking at, particularly in marketing now, in terms of professional growth, is actually AI and how we can use AI in marketing and admissions and in communication. And so getting a bit of discussion around, is there time for us to trial things? Is there time for us to learn best practice? So carving out that time for the team as well to also learn and also grow in our specialties.
Yes, that's very interesting. I suppose you're giving a good insight here on those sort of support staff roles that Gary's talked about, as much as teacher roles, and how you need good people and want to sort of keep them in the school. So So that's really good to hear as well. I suppose talking a little bit there about these sort of concepts, it makes me think, how then, when you have a new member of staff, because obviously my understanding, you know, would be those sort of first months or years, you know, a couple year, 2 years, when you move internationally, particularly if it's your first job or maybe your second job in that sector, quite a, you know, big upheaval in your life, right? You know, to do that, and you know, you've done it, Gary, you've traveled, you know, moved across the world, as it were. Do you have a particular focus on making sure those early months, maybe the first year particularly, is really particularly well supported, whether that's, you know, buddying them up with people, whether it's helping with accommodation, whether it's, you know, regular check-ins to make sure they're feeling settled? Because I can imagine if you're, you know, you've got a really great person, but they're just not, you know, they're homesick or something, which could well happen. Do you have sort of good levels of support to make sure those early teachers are kind of see through those first months and years?
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. And I think what we try to do is from the moment we meet somebody, we ensure that that pathway, that journey is as smooth as possible. And in fact, that carries on all the way until they sort of leave us, that offboarding process. We obviously treat people very supportively when they join us, but equally when they leave us. And again, that's part of our philosophy. So from the moment we meet somebody, they get a huge level of support. And you mentioned homesickness there, that they may feel homesick at some point. They will, for sure. And even an experienced overseas teacher, such as myself, when you move somewhere different, you still face those challenges, perhaps not quite the peaks and troughs as if it's your first move or your second move, but everybody does experience that sort of turbulence when you move from one environment to another. So everything from budding, as you mentioned, through to ensuring that your HR team are in regular contact and answering every single question that a new member of staff has from the moment of appointment, not when they arrive, that's too late. So we're in regular contact, and we share updates, we share newsletters, we have buddy contact. We ensure that, for example, when we look at accommodation, that they have an opportunity to sort of look at accommodation remotely, so they can actually visualize where they're going to be living, because that helps with that settling in process and alleviating some of those nerves that people have inevitably before they arrive. So that when they actually physically get here, they feel like they know us and they're already part of the community.
Oh, let me also add in on support. So it's not about new joining members, but I think Shanghai went through a very unique situation about a year or so ago when we went through the Shanghai lockdown. And I think that was the moment when you could see how supportive a school is for their staff. And I remember some members that I work with who are also come from corporate background were just amazed at the amount of support, effort, and people factor that the school puts in to look after its people. And so if you can imagine in Shanghai, people are locked in their homes. They can't get food. They can't get shampoo. They can't get the basic resources. And the school, together with the community, actually came together in order to send out care packages of food to help people that were getting pulled into central lockdown, all sorts of different factors. And I think that's type of support that is treats every member of staff as an individual that has like human needs. I mean, we're talking about like milk powder for babies or nappies for babies or, you know, things like that. The school just going out of its way to buddy up Chinese staff with international staff so they can navigate the system. That is, for me, just amazing and unheard of. You wouldn't get that in the corporate world.
Okay, and I guess that really speaks, doesn't it, to sort of creating that, again, that culture and that sense of why someone wants to stay, why they want to re-sign a contract, because they just feel like, well, you know, I might get a better job, I might get more money, but will I get this, also get this sense of community in place, which, Gary, you talked about. And I suppose the pandemic really, you know, brought some of that to the fore in certain schools. And I suppose you'd say hopefully just was a continuation of good practice you were already doing.
Yeah, I'd say the response from the college to the pandemic was truly outstanding, was the envy of other schools, both locally and nationally. And that's why, one of the reasons why you end up with 98% staff retention, because they see, I think in times of challenge, you see the values of any organization really shine. And that's when our values shone perhaps most brightly. Now, of course, as it talks about offboarding, you know, some staff inevitably do leave, but I think, again, by making sure that the support they get when they leave is outstanding, they then, you know, go away and become your ambassadors for you as they travel off to other international schools, typically around the world, and develop that incredible reputation that we have for staff support. It's not just staff to staff, if you like. We have incredible community support. Our parents are part of that. Our students are part of that. We actually just been out this afternoon, Dan, an event we're hosting here, and perhaps we can talk about events because they're such an important part of developing that culture. But outside, we have parents, students, and staff today at a soccer tournament, and it's everyone together enjoying the sunshine, enjoying the event, supporting each other, and that develops that culture where you really don't want to leave.
Yes, I can imagine for teachers as well. It must be hard if you're working with a group of students and, like I say, get to know their families a bit and have colleagues. And then if after 2-3 years, a really exciting job opportunity comes up elsewhere, but you would lose that journey with those students. And I suppose, like you're talking about, if you can make sure there is that ability to create that community spirit. So it's not just, you know, the pupils, but, you know, their parents, you know, their family stories, you're sort of seeing them, as you say, at those kind of events. It must make it harder to sort of, you know, rest away from those journeys you're on together and want to see them, presumably particularly through to any assessment stages and what they go on to do next, which again is sort of, have you seen a change in that? You know, do you think teachers do stay longer a little bit now because of sort of wanting to do that journey for longer maybe?
Yeah, I think so. I think what happens when you join the college is you do join a community. And I mean that in a really deep sense. It's, you're not here 9 to 5. It's not that sort of place. If you join us, you're committing to, deep dive into being part of who we are. So you make those connections, as you've described, with students, with parents, with community partners, of which we have many, so that your life sort of becomes part of this community in a deep way that you don't want to give up. So you know, when you get to that point, perhaps for some people in their career where they think, yeah, now's about the time I would normally want to leave somewhere. It's very difficult to do that here. And for those small number who have moved on to other places, they nearly always come back and say, I wish I hadn't.
Yeah, do you get many boomerang staff then?
We get many people trying to boomerang. the challenge is we don't have many staff leaving.
Yes.
We have many positions available for them to come back. But we certainly do keep in contact with staff that leave. That sort of after sales service, if you like, is exceptional again, because, you know, once a part of our family, always a part of our family, and you see that in real terms. It's not just something we say.
This year is our 20th anniversary, and at the start of the year, we had a kind of birthday celebration, and on the field, we had, I think it was 15 staff members on stage to get a little ceremonial pin. Those are staff that have been with us, founding staff. So that's 20 years they've been and stayed with the school. And that just goes to show kind of what a great community and culture we have, that people will give their entire careers to this school. And we also have alumni that keep coming back. So recently we had alumni, literally this week, he's a student now at MIT. He's a PhD student at MIT. And he came back and he spent time with our parents, with our students, just to talk about his journey, what he learned at Dulwich, why he loves Dulwich, and just giving back. And so what we're finding now is on a weekly basis, alumni just keep in just to see their old teachers and to stay in touch with the school and to give back. So
yeah,
that's really nice as well.
That's great. And two questions on that. That ceremony you referenced, so those staff, that does seem like an incredible milestone for those staff. Were they a mix of local and international staff or probably one group or?
They were a mix. I think they were slightly more local than international staff. But one of the things we do is we award long-serving pins for 20 years, 15 years, 10 years, 5 years, and so on. So we have actually a very large number of staff who have been here a long time, 10 years plus. And that's very unusual in international schools to have that longevity. But I think that recognition is also one of the ways in which we develop that very positive culture and sense of belonging is by recognizing when teachers and support staff have been here a long time, and celebrate that.
We
do the same for students as well. So that was a lovely event that we had at the start of the year, and we've been having regular birthday events throughout the year, developing that sense of community. I'd love you to come here and visit, Dan, because you'd feel it. I mean, we could talk about it when we are, but visitors come in the gate regularly, and we have a lot of visitors here. And one of the things they often say is the sense of community here, you can feel it in a way that you just can't feel in most places.
If I can make it out, then I'll take it up on your invitation. Thank you. And the other question I wanted to ask. Sorry, Libby.
We have our first student who's come back and sent their children to our school. So they graduated from Dulwich College Shanghai Pudong, and now their children come here.
I wanted to ask you, you mentioned about alumni. That's interesting, because we've covered that before in TES, and how it's something that a lot of international schools for a long time didn't really take advantage of. You know, it was almost like this kind of scrap that someone said, like, we had scraps of paper, we had like occasional emails of someone who we probably should remember, who, you know, is now sort of got a successful career, and they'd be a good person to remember to speak to. But other schools are professionalizing it a lot more, and more like a university type use of their alumni networks. Again, where it sounds like you're maybe a little bit more sophisticated on that. And again, how important is that? I mean, we move slightly away from sort of retention here, but I suppose it just shows, you know, talking about this community sense and you know, the sort of journeys that students go through. How much do you try and use that alumni network for good?
We definitely do. I would say we're not as advanced as that advanced, but I would say we're definitely prioritizing it and moving in that direction. So to formalize some of the kind of reunions, and also formalize their visits back. And so when alumni come to visit us, we'll give them a tour, we'll try and arrange for them to meet their teachers, and of course we'll get some stories from them. And they've been involved in lots of different things recently, such as, like I said, parent presentations, student presentations, but also even the ones that are all around the world, they will, about every month, we'll get someone in to do an alumni talk, and they'll talk about their experience and what they've been up to. And so we've got alumni doing all sorts of great things, like the PhD in MIT. We have one of our students was involved in the COVID vaccination. Another one went out to RISD and is a Saatchi Prize winner. So we've got alumni all over the world, and they do want to give back, and they do love to come back to Dulwich. And this year for the 20th anniversary, we are doing an alumni reunion. So if you're listening and you're a Dulwich alum, 31st of June, come back to Shanghai.
It's definitely something, Dan, that we are investing heavily in. And I think you're right. I think it was sort of hazard internationally in the past. But it's such a rich resource of advice, expertise, and engagement. And I think it's really important. I speak to the older students here, and the fact that they know when they physically leave, they're still part of this community is very important to them. And I was at an alumni reunion dinner in Singapore recently, just last month. And they're incredible young people with so much to give. And they all have that commonality of Dulwich. And it means a lot to them. So it's something we're invested in, and it's something we believe is very important to our community.
And so many things we've done over the years are student-led. And so there's a thing called Dulwich Talks, which was created by a student, or Dulwich TV, or Dulwich Robotics. It's all been created by students. Or there's a group called Synchronized, which is an a cappella singing group, which is also created by students. And they love to come back and see the things that they started still running 5-10 years later. And so they love to see, like, that other students have taken their first footsteps and grown them over the years. So it's really nice.
Yeah, this is nice. We've sort of come on to almost like how you retain your pupils is sort of like, you know, they don't want to sort of forget their connections, which is really nice. But I just want to move on to one last section, I think, in a way, around this topic, which is, you know, Gary, you acknowledge that some stuff will move on, and that's inevitable, and you have that's important to help them leave well and they'll become ambassadors. But what do you do? You know, how sort of far will you push it if someone comes and they are going to leave, or they've got, you know, they're handing in their notice, so to speak, that you will go back and say, look, what can we do? Can we find a new role for you? Can we increase your salary even? You know, how much does sort of pay play a part in retention these days? You know, we know it's a competitive market. We know there's cost of living and inflation around the world. You know, do you see people, using moves as a bargaining chip. You know, there's quite a few things there, but it'd be just interesting to know, you know, how do you play that when someone really good is leaving and you're like, well, actually, what could we do to keep them?
Yeah, I think fortunately it doesn't happen that often, but when a member of staff does come and have that conversation, I think we very much look to supportive opportunities that may be available within the college. Perhaps they're coming down the track, maybe not immediately, but maybe the following year, and look to see where we can gently persuade somebody to stay a little bit longer. But you know, I've always been of the philosophy, if somebody is ready to leave and they really want to leave, well, then let's support them. And let's make sure that offboarding process is as supportive as possible. But we'll continue to create and nurture that culture, which means very, very few people come into my office to ever have that conversation. But yeah, negotiations would normally be around opportunity rather than salary.
And are you seeing any, again, I know you're saying your retention rates are high, but I mean, more generally in the sort of area you are, and maybe in the sort of wider part of the world, are you seeing, you know, what's the movement at the moment among teachers? Is there a lot of change? Are you seeing lots of jobs being posted, or is everyone sort of happy post-pandemic to just kind of enjoy where they are? There's not such that kind of transient nature going on, or is that sort of coming back up a bit?
Yeah, I think there's a post-pandemic bounce. I think particularly here where we are, it was very challenging, as Lavinia described, for a while, and people did leave. But we're now fully open, and there's a real buzz about, for example, in Shanghai. I couldn't think of a better city in the world to live in at the moment. It's absolutely thriving and exciting. You know, it's a great city to live in. So I think there has been a bounce, and that's supported with retention. I think, you know, certainly from our perspective, it's not difficult to persuade people to stay. When you have an opportunity, a culture, a community like we have, nobody really wants to leave, Dan.
And Lavinia, from your point of view on marketing, then I suppose it doesn't hurt, does it? When you can sort of sell that as a kind of, you know, people come and they stay, and you sell it to parents and to prospective teachers. Again, how much do you use that as would make sense within sort of marketing of the school? Again, like I say, to both groups.
To both groups, you mean parents and teachers?
And staff, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the staff retention is kind of word of mouth as well. And so the school's reputation does, from a staffing perspective, sells itself. Our teachers going out and doing amazing things. So we have a teacher, she's the head of psychology, and then she's written her own kind of curriculum on the science of learning. And then she's had a chance to present that publicly, and that markets for us. I don't have to do anything for that. And then she's also the IB coordinator. And then she just hosted the IB conference, which brings in teachers of other IB teachers to our school. And so when you've got people like that, that are just doing amazing things out in the market, leading in research, passionate about pedagogy, then they're almost marketing for you. So there's that side, which, like you said, it makes my job easier.
And we certainly do talk with our parent community about staff retention, because it's very important to them and their children that we have that continuity of learning. And so that's something that the parents do pay close attention to and do ask about. And you know, we're transparent about that your children are going to know their teachers next year. You don't have that disruption you perhaps have in a high churn environment. And that's really important for that continuity. So it's definitely, I'm a parent, Dan, as well, here at school. So it's important for me as a parent. I want that continuity of staffing, of teaching, of support staff. So you know, we talk about it, we're transparent about it. It's and obviously it's a very good news story at the moment.
Yes, that is exactly what I was thinking. Was for a parent, you know, let's say it's nice to know that you can point and say, look, we had 15 members of staff who did 20 years service recently. We've got others who've done 10. You know, it sort of proves that, as you say, you'll be the same teacher this year as next year, as, you know, likely the year after. And that, again, imagine, like you say, is very important. I think in some ways that really sort of does cover a really nice picture of, you know, the school and what you do, and the kind of mix of some sort of practical elements about, you know, make sure there's a career progression opportunity and helping them settle well, and make sure you can talk to them about future opportunities as they're sort of going forward, and also the kind of more we might say pastoral, the community ethos that, that brings it all together. So unless there's any other sort of particular thing you think we haven't mentioned, which would be good to mention around how you focus on your retention, I feel like that's a really, you know, wide ranging conversation on both those sort of dual aspects and how they work together. And we even fit in a conversation about alumni networks as well, which was nice. But yeah, so listening to the hours, I think we could say sort of that would be a good finish point.
Yeah, I think we've covered most of what we wanted to talk about. We didn't talk much about our sort of vision and values, but I think that came across through the conversation, I hope.
Yes, so, I would say so, for definitely, yeah. Yeah, certainly on this topic particularly, I think, you know, we've mentioned that nicely. And again, I think it's an area that a lot of schools, you know, again, we know the battle for talent, you know, finding good staff, keeping them is something that I talk to a lot of people about. So hopefully, you know, I'm sure from this conversation, they'll get a sense of, you know, what you're doing well. You know, 98% retention rate is obviously impressive. Like you said at the start, we don't set targets. I feel like if you did set a target, I don't think you'd set it at 98%, right? It would seem too ambitious. You set it at 90 or something. So to be at 98% seems like a very impressive level. So thank you so much for both of you to give me your time to share your insights. Really appreciate it. I'm sure the listeners have found it very interesting as well. And yeah, look forward to hearing what you'll do next. And who knows, maybe I'll get that visit in as well at some point.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. And we have a lot of visitors, as I mentioned earlier, Dan. So if anybody wants to contact us and come and have a look at our community and what we're doing here, you're more than welcome.
That's great. What's the best way for someone to do that? Is there an email on the website or something like that?
Yeah, they can contact myself or Lavinia from the website and just drop us an email.
Perfect. There you go.